Invite you to open your Bible in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. I'm beginning to read at the verse 27. Mark, chapter 8, and the verse 27. And we read, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man, of men. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and the Gospels, the same shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Amen. And hope God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts. Could I just say tonight, also along with the minister, we give you a warm welcome to the Old Time Gospel campaign tonight. And he was just saying there were some new faces. I was wondering what you did with the old ones, but I'm sure he has all that figured out. And you know, it was good to hear our sister singing. I've been blessed by the singing by the beginning of the week and last night and tonight. And it's been lovely and to hear people singing. And you know, I'm amazed at people that can sing and they have no musical accompaniment and they can sing without music or any musical instrument. And you know, someone said to me, you know, you should get a musical instrument and it would do wonders. Only it was a lambeg drum that they had in mind, and I don't really think that would suit my gift from singing. But you know, God blesses people in different ways, and we want to thank those singers who have come along night by night and have been a real blessing to us. And if this is your first time at the mission, we do trust that the Lord will richly bless you even this evening. Now, in a little moment, sir, tonight I want to draw your attention to a great question that is asked by the Lord Jesus Christ in the closing verses of the portion of the Word of God that we read together. As you read through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, you will discover that the Bible is full of great questions. You'll find, for example, in the book of Genesis, that we have God's first question to man when God came into the garden and he said, "Adam, where art thou?" And that was a question concerning a place. Where art thou? How do you stand in relation to God? Then you'll remember we have that great question that was asked by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate as he stood before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stood before the crowd with Christ on his hands. And he turned to the multitude and he said, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And of course, that's one of the greatest, if not the most important question that any man woman, boy, or girl can ever ask, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And of course, that's a question concerning a person, the greatest person that ever lived, even our Lord Jesus Christ. But when you come to the question that we have in hand this evening, we find that this is a question concerning profit. For the Lord Jesus Himself asked the question, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And it's that question that comes to us from the lips of the one who was the same yesterday, today, and forever that I want to consider with you this evening. A very straightforward, a very solemn question that deals with eternal realities. And I want you to notice here from the Word of God that there are three things that seem to stand out in this question that was asked by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice, first of all, that we have what I've called a revelation that should make you think. A revelation that should make you think. You see, these words remind us of a great truth that is emphasized again and again in the Word of God. And that great truth is this, that you have a soul. That every man and woman that is born into this world of Adam's race, we're all born with souls into this world. Now, the Word of God makes it absolutely clear, right, from the dawn of creation, and how that God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. You see, we're told in the Word of God that God said, let us make man in our image. And that was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost speaking together in unison in the great work of creation. And God said, let us make man in our image. And of course, we know from further revelation in the Word of God that God is a Trinity. That we have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the divine Godhead. And so we find here from the Word of God that when God said, let us make man in our image, I believe that God is reminding us here that God made man a tripart being, a Trinitarian person, a person of three parts. And as you read in the Word of God, you will find that just as there was three different compartments or stories in Noah's Ark, so likewise God has made man of soul, body, and spirit. And that's the plain teaching of the Word of God. And if there was no other verse in the Bible except the verses that we read tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the one who was the truth, the faithful and true witness, reminds us here that every person has a soul. Because the Savior says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And the Savior Himself, the Lord Jesus, makes it absolutely clear that you're more than a beast of the field, that God has made you in His image, and God has placed within your body something that will live on for the countless ages of eternity. Oh, a revelation that should make you think. You need to understand tonight, unsaved person, that you have a soul, and that soul will live on forever and ever, as long as God reigns upon His throne in heaven, either in heaven or in hell. Now we live in a day of skeptics and people do not believe the Word of God. And very often people say, well, you know, what's the evidence for having a soul. I remember on one occasion being with an undertaker, and done many funerals with this man. Very friendly man. Kind of man who would be the last man to let you down. But anyway, this undertaker, we've got witnessing to him. And I said to him, Bobby, about the need of salvation. Do you ever think, Bobby, that you need to be saved? That you have a soul and that soul needs to be saved? And I can remember this undertaker looking at me. And he said to me, you know, Mr. Barnes, with all due respect, he said, I've conducted and officiated at literally hundreds of funerals. And I've watched the coffin go down into the grave. And he said, I've never seen a soul. How do you know you have a soul? And I looked at him and I said, well, Bobby, you know, there's many things in life that you can't see. But the evidence is there. Take, for example, a wind. My, you can see the evidence of the wind and how it blows. But yet, at the same time, visibly, with the naked eye, you cannot see the wind. I said to him, Bobby, think of pain. You think of the evidence of pain. And you can go into a hospital ward and you can see a person writhing and their bodies being twisted in pain, and yet you cannot put pain in a test tube and say, that's pain. You can only see the evidence of pain. And then, of course, again, you think of a mother's love for her child, and who could measure the height and the depth and the length and breadth of a mother who loves her child. Remember on one occasion being asked to take part in a funeral service, and a mother had lost her child. As I went to the home, she drew me to the side, and she had a little envelope in her hand, and she was trembling, and the tears were running down her cheeks. And she said, Mr. Barnes, could I ask you something? And I said, certainly. She said to me, I've wrote a little letter to my wee boy. And do you think it would be all right if I put it inside his little coat? And maybe Jesus would read it to him in heaven and tell him just how much that his mommy loved him here on earth. Do you think Jesus would do that? And I just put my arm round her and I said, certainly, dear, you just put it in the little jacket and with your little boy. Who am I to dispute in such circumstances as that? But you know, there it was, in the little casket going down in the mother earth, and a mother's love was going down into the grave, even with the burial of her little child. Can you measure a mother's love? Can you put it in a test tube? No. And so it is, my friend, with your eternal soul. I cannot come like a scientist tonight, put it in a test tube. But I can bring you to the Word of God and to the Christ that never lied. And on the authority of God's Word makes it absolutely clear that you have a soul. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? And oh, would to God you would sit down tonight and think about this revelation that should make you think that I have a soul. You know, I think of a dear fellow by the name of Harry Sargent, and Harry was a good, upright, moral living fellow. He had one sister whom he loved, and the sister was saved, but Harry had no interest in the things of God. And one evening, his sister came to him and she said, Harry, I wonder, would you do something for me? And you know, Harry would have done anything in this world for his sister to please her. He said, certainly, what is it? She said, Harry, I wonder, would you go up into the bedroom and just sit down on the edge of your bed and think for a short while on the fact that you have a soul that needs to be saved, a soul that will never die. Harry, Would you go up into your bedroom and think about your soul? And Harry, though he was taken back by the request, he had given his word. He made his way up into his bedroom and he sat down at the edge of the bed. And he was just going to while away the time and come down to his sister. But as he sat there, the Spirit of God began to work in his heart. I have a soul. I have a piece of God's eternity within me. Where is my soul going to be in eternity? And as he thought about this revelation that should make you think, Harry Sargent kneeled at the side of the bed he was sitting on. And he called upon the name of the Lord Jesus for mercy. And he accepted Jesus as his Savior. Oh, a revelation that should make you think. Every man, woman, boy or girl ought to give attention to the fact that you have a soul. But then I want you to notice not only a revelation that should make you think, but there's a ruination that should make you tremble. A ruination that should make you tremble. And that is that it's possible for you as an individual to lose your soul. You know, in reality, there's only going to be one person who's ever going to gain the whole world. And that will be the Antichrist, the man of sin. In the last day of Satan, Superman, when he comes upon the stage of this old world. And the old devil, it will seem, will gain the whole world. And the world will worship the Antichrist, the man of sin. And those who have his image upon their foreheads. And the Lord Jesus is saying, for what shall it profit a man if he should be like the Antichrist? And gain the whole world, and yet in the end lose his own soul, and be lost in the lake of fire for all eternity. You not only have a soul, a revelation that should make you think, but there's a ruination that should make you tremble, that it's possible for you as an individual one day that you will lose your soul. You ever stop to think about how you can lose your soul? The Bible makes it clear that you can lose your soul by unbelief. Do you remember the Lord Jesus in John chapter 3 and verse 36? He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do to be lost? Just go on the way you're going. Unbelieving. Not receiving Christ as your Savior. And you'll be lost as sure as you sit in your seat tonight. You know, some years ago in Moody Bible Institute, some of the students were down in the streets of Chicago and they were out doing open-air work and giving out gospel tracts. And as they were giving out the gospel tracts, a well-dressed businessman came along and one of the students stepped forward and handed him a tract. And the man exploded. He went ballistic and he took the tract and he wrapped it up and he threw it down. And he said, I'm fed up! Everywhere you go, there's people preaching and giving you tracts. He said, I don't believe this stuff. And the student, in fear and trembling, quoted the words of the Lord Jesus from Mark 16. But sir, the Bible says, he that believeth not shall be damned. If you don't believe, Jesus said, you'll be damned. Now, the man was angry before this. He was 10 times worse after the student speaking to him. But you know, God's word was as a nail in a sure place. God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the man went home and the word of God followed him. And that night he went to his bed and all he could hear was the words of the student quoting the words of Christ. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned. He tried to pull the blankets over his head to drown out the noise and the voice, but it went on. And eventually, in the early hours of the morning, he got out of his bed, knelt at the bedside, and confessed his sin and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. How did it all happen? Oh, there was a ruination that should make you tremble. And you can perish in unbelief. And you can die in your sin. But then, in this ruination that should make you tremble, you can not only lose your soul by unbelief, but you can lose your soul by unrepentance. You know, the message of the gospel is this: repent and believe the gospel. And again, the Bible reminds us that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent. Now, repentance is very simple. It means just simply turning away from your sin. There was an old soldier, and he was wonderfully saved by the grace of God. And when he was giving his testimony, he would stand straight in the pulpit. And then when he would talk about repentance, he would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, repentance is simply walking in one direction and then doing an about turn and going in the other direction." And he had it absolutely right. I wonder, can you look back to a time in your life when you repented of your sin, when you turned away from your sin, when you began to hate your sin, realizing it was that sin that nailed the Lord Jesus to the middle cross of Calvary? Oh, a ruination that should make you tremble. There's many loss that you can suffer in life, but the greatest loss of all is for a man or woman or a boy or girl to lose their soul. That's why the Bible says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. I want to tell you, son, you can laugh your way into hell, but you'll never laugh your way out of it. Because across the doors of hell, there's no exit. There's a way in, but there's no way out. And when a man or woman goes to hell, they're lost in hell for all eternity. Oh, a revelation that should make you tremble. Even as Eli of old trembled for the ark of God, you should tremble for your soul tonight, lest you would lose your soul, not only for time, but for all eternity. But you know, as I look at these words, I discover that there's not only a revelation that should make you think, and a ruination that should make you thankful, and a ruination that should make you tremble, but there's a redemption that should make you thankful. There's a redemption that should make you thankful. You see, the one who spoke these words was the one who shortly was going to go the way of the cross. And if you look there in verse 31, it says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man may suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again." Oh, and here's a redemption that should make you thankful, that it was the one who was the shepherd of your soul, and as the good shepherd, he was going to go to the cross and lay down his life as the good shepherd in your place as he bore the punishment of your sin upon the cross. Did you ever stop to think of the cross? God did something that He has never done before and He will never do again. And that is that He laid the burden of your sin upon His lovely Son as He took your room instead as a substitute upon the cross. That's something God never did before and never will do it again. And that was laid the iniquity of us all upon His dear Son on the cross. A revelation It should make you thankful. I wonder what the cross means to you tonight. You know, I think of a lovely young army officer. During the war years, he was in command of a group of soldiers. They were on the front line in action. And as they were standing there, suddenly a hand grenade came right over and fell at their feet. And there wasn't time to lift it and to throw it away. But without hesitation, this lovely young officer just threw his body over the hand grenade, and it went off, and his body took the full impact. He lost his life immediately, nearly blown to smithereens. You know, when his mother and father heard about it, they were heartbroken that their son had lost his life in active service, but they were so proud that he had given his life for others, because greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. They decided after the war was over that they would invite the company, the young soldiers whose life he had saved, to come to their home for a meal, and they would be able to talk about their son. And the invitations were given out, and one by one they were accepted, and eventually the night came for the meal. And the mum and dad had the table spread and everything ready. And all the soldiers arrived except the sergeant. The sergeant came late and he rang the doorbell. He was under the influence of drink. And he came into the house and he sat down. And he was rude, he was foul-mouthed, and he ruined the whole evening. So much so the other soldiers were embarrassed, along with the young soldier's mother and father. And after their guests had left, the young mother turned and she fell into the arms of her husband. And she said, Oh, to think that our lovely son died for a thing like that. And sometimes I think God looks down in a meeting like this, and he sees men and women and young people, and they couldn't give that about Christ. It's all a big joke. And heaven looks down, and God says with a tear in his voice, to think that my lovely son died for a thing like that. You know, Mr. Nicholson said, it was a good job I'm not God. Because if you treated me the way you treated God, he said, I would damn the whole lot of you. But thank God, God's not a man. He's a God who is rich in mercy. And he's a God who's mighty to save. And he's the God who takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. A redemption that should make you thankful. You know what Paul said? He said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, even the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, is there that response in your heart? Have you ever came to the cross? Have you ever stood before the man of sorrows as he hung upon the tree and said, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. A revelation that should make you tremble. You have a soul. A ruination. A revelation that should make you think you have a soul. A ruination that should make you tremble. You can lose your soul. But oh, thank God, there's a redemption that should make you thankful tonight. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and to save your soul. We're going to turn together.